sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Well, good evening. As all of you should have figured out by now, I am not Chick. Chick is currently about 40 to 48 hours away from Africa, and working on the ministry going on there. So for the next month, he has got some guest speakers coming from him, of which I am the first. If you know me, then I don't need to say my name at all. If you don't, well, there's a good reason for that, and you should introduce yourself later. As far as the reason I'm here tonight, it's because Chick sent out an email to all the Home Fellowship leaders talking about the wanting the Home Fellowship leaders to lead at least one of the five books you saw on the screen right there, or seen on the screen right there. And when I met with them to discuss that book, he simply said that I was going to be teaching that this night. So the book I read out of that list is Touched by a Spirit by Jim Hesterly. I believe that's how you pronounce that. So the title of tonight's message is simply Touched by a Spirit. So with that, let's just start this out in prayer. Lord Jesus, please do just, Lord, speak through me, God. Please do just speak through any of the flaws of speech and just give everybody the open hearts to receive what you have them receive tonight, Lord. Lord, that they receive it and take action upon it. In your name, amen. So, the purpose of Touched by a Spirit is really just to simply give the basic understanding of the Holy Spirit and of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he gives, and to encourage you to walk in it and show you the simple steps to take to discover your gifts and grow in them. So the first thing we're going to simply start out with is going over 11 verses from the book from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is the main passage that this book really covers. Technically, it covers, you know, like the main scriptures for this is 12 to 14, but I don't like reading for long periods of time and had a lot of other things to cover, so I cut it down to just these 11 verses. So, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we see in this passage a short list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not an exhaustive list, but just the list that this book goes over and covers. And it really emphasizes the fact that these gifts were given for the profit and the benefit of other believers. They are given for you to pour in and to invest into one another, from especially verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So, with that in mind, we are going to first cover what each of these gifts are, just at a base level, how you can see them in everyday life, and just begin to understand how the Holy Spirit works in these things. If you have not yet understood that or are still questioning these things, just help give a simple, basic understanding of how God works in these things. And just an encouragement to be desiring these gifts and to be desiring to use your own gifts. Because if the Lord has saved you and the Lord has and you have been baptized by His Spirit, you have these gifts that He wants you to use, that He wants you to be pouring out into others. So the first gift that is mentioned is the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a word given by God to give answer to a situation, to give a solution to a situation, to simply give His guidance or direction in a situation that you otherwise could not have spoken any of your own wisdom into, something that you could not have figured out on your own, something that you can use to encourage others in whatever place they're at. My favorite example I've seen of this was on a Israel trip where someone was having an asthma attack on the bus. And because it was one of the first times having an asthma attack, as they discovered they had asthma in Israel just a day or two ago, they were very fearful of it, and they were very, very anxious of what was going on, especially since the inhaler wasn't working this time. We ended up having to call the ambulance to actually take her to the hospital. And during this whole process, one of the other people on the tour simply came up and gave the simple word of wisdom that even though that this asthma is a real amber, is a real burning and something that is actually affecting you, all this anxiety, all this fear was simply making it worse, was simply growing the flame that didn't have to be that large. And also, just throughout that trip, was given words of wisdom for just trusting in the Lord. And through that work, they were just able to move past that. They were able to have less severe asthma attacks by such a large margin, and simply receive what God had for them for the rest of that trip. Now, the next gift that is mentioned is the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is a word given to you by the Holy Spirit that gives you information that you otherwise could not have known. It gives you insight into someone's situation, insight into some other overall situation that you might be able to act upon. But the best way that I've seen this gift in action, or the most notable point in my life where this gift was in action, was at a men's conference a few years back, where the lead speaker and a few other of the speakers had a word of knowledge that many of the men were just walking in darkness, were not confessing things and forsaking things that needed to be confessed and forsaken, and were just able to bring that to the light, that word of knowledge to the light, and encourage and convict those at that conference to actually deal with those things. I was one of those people that was able to actually respond to that and confess those things that need to be confessed in my life and deal with those things and move past that. So, again, the way that this gift is used in other people's lives for their edification is to be able to come alongside them and help them through things that other people cannot see or just won't know about because it is a situation that either they're hiding, perhaps they can't share it, perhaps they don't even know the full details of it. But this gift being able to be used helps to comfort, helps to be able to pray for them and just come alongside them in those ways. The next gift that is mentioned is the gift of faith. And the gift of faith is the immediate situation where the Holy Spirit directs you to say or do something without knowing how it's going to end or even how you're going to get there. It is simply knowing that He's called you to do that and having the faith to step out and do that thing. My another favorite example I have of this is also from Israel. If you haven't been to Israel before, I really encourage you to make it if you can. The Lord does a lot of work there if you just let Him do it. But the Israel is obviously a very expensive thing, and one of the people on the trips I went on felt led to, very obviously strongly led to cover someone else's ticket, and didn't really have the finances to do that, but knew that they were supposed to. So they simply walked in faith, they simply made those payments what they could, and God simply provided through mortgage refunds that they had no idea they were supposed to get, or other financial things that they had no idea they were supposed to get and weren't expecting, and were just able to not only bless the person that they went on that trip with, but also they were able to bless others such as myself, just being able to see that faithfulness and be able to see God's work in that. So again, being able to build up others and just being able to see God's work, but also just accomplish things that you otherwise wouldn't have done, things you otherwise wouldn't have set out to do. And again, some of these gifts are given to you and you just have them for the rest of your life. Sometimes gifts come for a season. Sometimes you will just have that gift of faith that you need to act on for a season. And do so and see where God leads and see what God does in that. And do not give up until you see what God has shown you to do. The next gift that is mentioned is the gift of healing. The gift of healing is the supernatural restoration, either physically, mentally, or spiritually, and that one's a pretty simple one to explain as far as gifts go. But my favorite example of this, again in Israel, was when one of the couples was told by the Spirit to, were directed to be prayed for at a specific site by the elders. And after that happened, the one of the two had immediately seen God or felt God start restoring things physically in them, things that, damages that were caused in the youth, damages they let happen, and were able to see those things slowly start to revert and start to see God work in the supernatural way of healing. So again, these are things that God wants to work and wants to work through quite possibly you if He's calling you to do that, if you simply step out and do what He has you to do. And the edification of this gift is pretty obvious with being healed. The next gift mentioned is the working of miracles, which is God's supernatural provision for a situation that just defies his otherwise natural law. It is Him providing outside of simple logic. While I don't have a specific memory of something that's the gift of miracles compared to one of the other gifts, Jim Hesterly actually has one from his book where he talks about how he had invited his brother over for dinner and had prepared food for the about five people that he had coming that night and only had about enough food to feed five people in his house to begin with. However, he invited the rest of his family to come after dinner to, you know, like hang out and whatnot. His entire family came before and during dinner, so because of that, you know, like Jim immediately, you know, like with his wife, just started making as much food as they could and just decided they're going to eat afterwards. But after having gotten done with that food, after having made all that food, they realized that they had made food for about 40 people that filled them with food that only should have, like, realistically supported five or so people. So, again, these are things that God can and will work in your life. And Jim lists about like five different reasons that he believes that miracles aren't as seen as much today. But the one that sticks out to me the most is simply the one of self-sufficiency. We seek so much oftentimes to provide for ourselves, to provide what we think we need to the extent that we need it, to the point where we oftentimes can miss what God otherwise has for us. We can miss the provision that God wants to give for us if we simply strive to do it all on our own will. And God will often let us, like, actually cover our needs in our own will to the fullest. That's not necessarily what he wants to do. What he wants to do is he wants you to seek him first, let him do his work, and let him provide where necessary. Now, I'm not saying to go quit your job and see how God provides, because you'll quite quickly tell that God will provide another job. So, you are to provide for yourself to an extent, but don't go above what God has called you to do. Let God provide the excess that's needed. Simply be where he has you and let him do the work. The next gift that is mentioned is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is words that are given that either foretell future events or simply words that are given to build up and encourage and stir up another believer. As far as example of prophecy that is, again, one of my favorites, is actually the first part of the healing example I was giving you. That couple was given a prophecy to be prayed for at a specific site by the elders on that Israel tour. And from there, and from their faith and going out and doing that, they're able to start seeing God's work in that, and able to start seeing God work. Now, as far as how to judge, the simple ways of how to judge whether or not a prophecy is from God or not, just whether or not it lines up with his word, whether or not it honors Jesus, and if it is a future event, just wait on it and see what the Holy Spirit does. Give him the time to work and act upon it. It is given, the words of prophecy are given to comfort you for future events. They are given to you to stir up action in you and to prepare you for anything that needs to happen. So if you have a word of prophecy or if you're given one, simply trust in that and simply act upon it. The next gift that is mentioned is the gift of discerning of spirits, which is the supernatural ability to understand and judge the spiritual activity behind things or to see the spiritual origin. Basically, whether or not it comes from God, the devil, or just human nature. To be able to, and it's most notably used to be able to simply identify false teachers or those who intend to cause harm while just clothing themselves with good intentions. I would say my favorite example of that, or the one that I've experienced the most of since I was a part of the final execution of it, was when someone was coming here for a shortish amount of time. They seemed to have reasonably good intentions, seemed to be trying to, you know, like somewhat connect to someone else that was coming here that they supposedly knew from their past. But at the end of the day, was causing actual harm for this person in some form or another. And because of that, and because of our pastor and a few other leaders, I believe, being able to discern that and see that, they're able to confront that and simply, and after I was with one brother driving her home one night, they just handed her some Bible studies and went, actually the 8 Bible studies we're going through on Sundays, and went, go through this and restore your relationship with this person, or you just simply can't keep coming here. And then they just simply stop coming there. So again, it helps to protect against those who seek to do harm while showing good intentions and is edifying in that way. The next gift that is mentioned is the gift of tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is what I like to think about as optimized prayer life. It is God speaking, it is God directing your prayer to simply express everything that you want to express but cannot express yourself in words. It is God using language beyond your comprehension to express and to give thanks in ways that you don't understand, but He does. It is most notably used for and most effectively often used for just simply edifying oneself in devotions or just in quiet prayer, being able to express those things that you otherwise can't express, just that gift of expression in that way. The simple way I often see this gift used is in afterglows when when I often sit next to people who have that gift, I just can hear them simply quietly speaking in tongues, either giving thanks or praying to Him. I don't know. I don't have interpretation. Which is the next gift, which is the interpretation of tongues, which is the ability to communicate effectively the essence of what someone else has expressed in tongues, to know what they said to God, and to be able to let others know so that others can agree and say amen. Paul points out that he would rather have people prophesy than speak tongues, because the prophesying is for the edification of others. And it edifies the whole body, whereas tongues often just edify the one person speaking in tongues. Unless if there is the gift of interpretation among you, in which case everyone can be edified at the same time. And that is the big thing to keep in mind with these gifts. They are not, at the end of the day, used just for yourself. They are not things that are called to be optional either. They are things that not only we are given for others, but are required to be used for others. We are called to use these gifts in our fullest, in our calling, and called to build each other up in them. And something that you should be asking yourself, too, is, do you desire to grow in your gifts? Do you desire to stay in place? Do you desire more gifts for just doing even more things? Or do you simply desire to stay where you're at? Do you even desire to look to growing them in the first place? Because if you don't, then there is something wrong, something that needs to change. You should always be looking to grow in these gifts, to grow in the will of God, because that's effectively what it is. These gifts are how you actually execute the will of God. They are not something that you can naturally do. They are something that God empowers you to do. They are the work of God through you, and it is the only way that God can accomplish His work in you. So really be asking yourself, do you desire to grow? Do you desire even more gifts? And I'm not saying that you have to desire more gifts, but really ask yourself, do you actually want to grow in these things? So, and if you do, which you should, the next part we're going to get into is simply the things that we allow to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Although I will also say, again, the gifts I just mentioned isn't all the gifts. I'm not saying that everyone here has one of these. Many of you have one of, not multiple of these. But regardless, this isn't an exhaustive list. I don't even believe I have any of the gifts on that list. I know I have the gift of exhortation, which is simply stirring up into action, which is what I hope to happen tonight and hope to accomplish and just continue to move forward and grow in these things that we're called to. But just simply continue to search out the scriptures for what lines up for what you do and the gifts that God has shown clearly. So, within the things that we allow to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, there's five or so things I'm about to mention. Some of them you may be aware will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Some of them you may not know actually hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Some of them you may be aware you're doing, others you may not. Either way, you must recognize that these things do hinder the work of God and the will that He wants to accomplish in your life, and things that you should be sorting out if you actually desire to follow Him, and things you need to sort out if you desire to be effective for Him. And another thing to keep in mind is that these are things that you allowed into your life. These are things that you set up in your life. They are not things that you can simply tear down. They are things that you have to take to God in prayer, in the Word of God, to overcome. They are things you need to allow Him to work on you to remove. And really just allow Him to work on those things. Allow Him to speak to you through others too. And again, just be in prayer for just overcoming these things. The first thing that will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit is simply ignorance. The lack of knowledge, both willingly and unwillingly. If you don't know if you don't know that you're one called to use these gifts, or have these gifts, or what these gifts are, how you're supposed to use them. And again, I've given you a very basic, you know, like foundation of the gifts mentioned in this passage in the scripture. But there's still more to be found. There's still many more gifts that are mentioned in the scriptures in their context. And there's still more instruction given as to how to grow in them. You need to be searching these things out. You need to be actively looking for God's will in His Word and in prayer. And again, the simple verse for this, for ignorance, is just from verse 1 of what we went over. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You are not called to be ignorant. You are called to know. It is not simply, I don't know, therefore I'm not responsible. You are responsible to know. You are responsible to search these things out. As far as how this, again, an example for how this hinders the work of the Holy Spirit can be found in myself. I didn't search these things out. I didn't actually desire to grow and know these things until like years after knowing about them. And when you do that, you not only, like for me, it wasn't even just hindering. It was like barely any work of the Holy Spirit I was allowing, because I wasn't actually seeking what He had for me and what He had given for me. And how are you actually to build up and encourage others if you don't know how to build up and encourage others? The simplest way to fix ignorance is simply going into God's Word, simply studying what He has for gifts, and just studying it in general, just seeing and allowing Him to speak in you and through you in His Word. The second thing that will very greatly hinder the work of the Holy Spirit is neglect. Neglect is simply underrating your gifts. It is not exercising them. It is just not putting them to use, quite simply, for whatever reason you may have in your head. It ultimately comes down to selfishness. It comes down to you putting something else in your life over God, something that takes the place over using the gifts and callings He has for you. And you need to recognize that, and you need to remove whatever things you are actually allowing it to be in the way of that. And if you're simply neglecting your gift because you don't think it to be valuable, then you're wrong. Quite simply, 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What you are given is to profit. What you are given will profit if you allow it to, and if you allow God to use it. So simply exercise it and allow God to use it. And again, an example of how this has hindered others is found in myself, just choosing other things in life even after having had more knowledge of what these gifts are, and choosing to put those things in front of my gifts and callings, and simply delaying what God has for me. Because God has things lined up for you. He has things that He wants to give you, but you have to get past yourself and get past your current situation to do the things God has for you, so that you can do the next things that God has for you. So don't neglect, don't put off what He has for you. Stir up the gifts and callings He has for you. Put them to use, exercise them, and whatever small ways He has, simply do that. The next thing that will greatly hinder is fear. And fear is a very big one, especially for those who may not be ignorant and may not want to necessarily neglect them, but then they come to this wall of fear. And oftentimes it's fear of the results. Sometimes it's fear of what other people might think, what other maybe non-believers might think, or even believers. Again, if you're afraid of what the results could be. And again, in myself, I have seen that a lot, where even after I get to the point where I might want to not neglect and exercise them, you hit this wall where it's like, what if it doesn't work? What if I don't have that gift? What if I am using it wrong? At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. If you don't have that gift, it'll be pretty obvious, and you can keep finding it. You can keep searching that out. Like, walk in what you believe that God has shown you to walk in, and He will be faithful in rewarding you in some way. You will not go wrong if you're doing it out of what you believe God to be leading you to do. I mean, obviously, like, pay attention to whether or not it's obviously not something God's leading you to do. He's not going to lead you to rob a bank or anything. But if it's for the edification of others, why not try it? If it's for building up others, why not go for it? See where God leads. Maybe you have the ability to work in that way and the ability that God's giving you. Maybe you don't. You there we go. That's a simple answer. You move on. You find the next thing. But either way, don't let fear of the results get in the way of that. Because at the end of the day, the results don't belong to you. The results belong to God. What belongs to you is simply taking action. God is the one that told you to do the thing. God is the one that uses His own power to accomplish the thing. Therefore, the end result is God's. All you have to do is be ready to be used by Him, and He will simply reward you in that. And if you struggle with fear, the obvious best verse that comes to mind for that is 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who has fear has not been made perfect in love. So, and then it goes on to say, we love him because he first loved us. If you are in fear, it means you are not operating in God. You're not, because again, somewhere else where I didn't actually look up this passage to verify the scripture reference, but somewhere in the Bible it says that God is love. And because God is love, that means God is the one who casts out that fear. There is no fear in God. If you're trying to operate in fear and making decisions off of fear, you are making decisions wrong. You need to give that over to God. You need to choose to be in Him and in His love and keep yourself there. Keep yourself in God's love. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, which is 2 Timothy 1:7. So keep yourself in God, and He will keep you out of fear. And if you are letting fear get in, it's because you're keeping your focus off God or letting your focus shift from God. God covers the results. You cover the action. The next thing that will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is comparison. Comparison will always result in pride or discouragement. It will either be you thinking your gifts higher than someone else's, and operating from that mindset, which is obviously not the mindset you should be operating in. Pride cometh before the fall. There's a lot of verses describing how bad pride is. It should be obvious to not let yourself go to that mindset. But the other one that oftentimes happens too is discouragement. You think your gifts are less valuable than someone else's, or maybe you think they're being used in a less valuable way. Therefore, you think, well, why don't I not use them to begin with? And the simple answer to that is, you, number one, don't deserve these gifts, and number two, didn't earn these gifts. Because you did not earn these gifts, you have no right to be prideful over someone else's gifts, because you did nothing to actually get any effort into receiving them. God wanted to give them to you, so all you need to do is receive and operate that, and that, and let others do the same. And as far as you do not deserve them, it means you're already given a gift by the God who created the universe to accomplish things that are beyond your own power in ways that you still don't yet understand. So simply be happy and be filled with what you have. Simply operate in what you have now and let him build upon that in the future. Oh, that's a good verse too. I just occasionally look back at my notes at this point and see whether or not I'm missing anything. I wrote too many notes down and I get distracted when I look at them. So the other verse I had for that though is, but one from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. So the position that you have been given has been given by the Holy Spirit, which means that it has been given by God himself. Simply be satisfied in that. Simply operate in that and let God do his work. The next thing that will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit is inflexibility. Being set in your own way, being on point for what you think this gift is and how it's to be used, that you don't allow God to change that, that you don't allow God to shift his work in you into something else that he wants you to move on to. And ultimately, it's defining God and his work in our own thoughts and imaginations. It is putting him in a box, and it quite simply just hinders his work. If you do not allow God to change how he operates in your life, then you will never move forward, and you will be stuck at a place that God may already be moving from in your life to somewhere else. So if you stay where God is no longer operating in your life, how are you supposed to operate for God? Move where God has you, be flexible in where he's leading, and be flexible into how he's working in your gift. One good example from Jim, from his book on how inflexibility could hinder the work of the Holy Spirit is how one pastor was being led one Sunday morning to simply switch up the operations of service. So switch up, you know, like the time of like worship and the teaching. Because he did this, within a few minutes of him in the teaching, somebody ended up giving their lives to Christ. Somebody who only had 15 minutes to begin with, who would have been leaving halfway through worship. Because he was flexible in where God was leading, and because he was flexible in God, how God was using his ministry, he got to see and experience more of God's work in that way, and it got to set that man free sooner than he might have otherwise been. The simple fix for being inflexible is simply being faithful and being available for what God has for you. And simply following what you may not even see to work because you haven't seen it work yet. And that's okay. You don't need to. That's what God's for. He's already seen it all. So go where he leads and be available for what he has for you. And the last thing that will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, quite simply, is sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit and hinders our fellowship with him. When we sin, it separates us from God in some extent. Even though we are saved, even though we are going to heaven, when we live a life in sin, we are still hindering his fellowship with us. Because while we are sinning, we cannot be focused on God. We cannot be operating from his will effectively. God still may use you in sin, but he cannot use you to the fullness and effectiveness that he wants to use you in. He cannot grow you past where you're at because you're stuck in just whatever continuous thing you're doing. And because of this, and because it actually hinders your work and your using the gifts, there is no private sin. There is no sin that is just between you and God, something that doesn't affect anybody else. That's not a thing that happens. Your sin will affect others because it will affect your ability to use gifts. You need to confess those to just other believers if you haven't yet, and simply walk in repentance from that if you want to actually be used of God effectively. And if you and you should just be set free of those things, because it's miserable to live with to begin with. I don't know why you'd still want to be there. But regardless, it's going to actually hinder everybody else too. Stop trying to convince yourself that it's not. You aren't moving forward, you aren't growing in God, therefore it is hindering everyone else. Because God has these gifts for the edification of everybody. If everybody was to grow in these gifts right now in this room, we would grow exponentially. Because one person growing in their gift means that they're using their gift to the edification of all. And if all are doing that, then we all are being edified exponentially. Grow in these gifts. Seek to know how God wants to use your gift better and operate in them. And with that, we'll get into the final section for you, which is just how to discover your gifts. I like to phrase it effectively. The previous section was clean away the rubble, clean away whatever is hindering the active work of the Holy Spirit in your life, getting the foundation ready for you to build upon. Because God has already laid the foundation to work in operating these gifts. All you have to do is simply build on and act upon it. So the first simple way to just start discovering or growing in your gifts is to be available. Be available for God and His work, and I don't mean simply make an extra hour of time. I mean put everything you have to His disposal. God paid His Son for your life. Therefore, because you have accepted Him as Savior and Lord, you have accepted Him as effectively your slave master. You are a bond servant to Him. Now, He's a very loving slave master that lets us get away with doing all sorts of things that we shouldn't be doing, and nor does it bring actual satisfaction. But regardless, we are effectively His. We should be walking in those things. We should be fully given all to what He has for us. So, there it is. The simple verse that comes to mind for this is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That really is our reasonable service, to present our whole life, a whole body, as a sacrifice for God and His work. God gave everything for somebody who deserves nothing. Therefore, why not give Him everything we have back in return? And seeing how what you're doing isn't actually working out anyway, you might as well just do that. So the next thing that... What did I miss a note there? Oh, nope, that was the same thing I just said. The next thing that we can be doing to be growing in our gifts is to be humble. Being humble doesn't mean simply, thinking to yourself more lowly than everybody else, last in line. That isn't what it means. Being humble means realizing your place, especially realizing your place compared to God, but realizing where He has put you and acting accordingly in it. A king being humble doesn't mean scraping down toilets all day. It means actually fighting for the people, either in war or in law, and doing where He has been placed to go. That is what being humble for a king means. It means doing where He has been set up to act. So where you have been put, simply act. Whether that actually be scrubbing toilets, simply act. Whether that be in leadership, act accordingly. God has given you the power to do those things that He has called you to. So walk fully in them. Do not think yourself higher than them, and do not think yourself lower than them. God has called you to things, and He has called you quite oftentimes to greater things than you expect. Don't think lowly of them, and don't put yourself higher than them. Simply follow where God has you in the mindset He has you to be in. The next thing to be doing is simply being faithful. Finish what God has entrusted you with, no matter what the cost may be, and no matter where you think it may be going. It is walking without knowing the next step. It is walking without sometimes even seeing where God's going to end it. but it is simply allowing God to act in your actions. It is allowing God to work in the steps that you are taking that he has told you to do. The verse that comes to mind for this is Luke 16, 10 through 12. Which is, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the righteous manner, who will commit your trust to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Basically, if you're not going to be faithful, God's not going to continue to be able to use you in that area. If you can't actually prove to God that you can finish even the simple task that he has for you, why is he going to give you a church? Like, if you think that you're not worthy of scrubbing toilets, why is he going to, if you can't even scrub the toilets, why is he going to give you anything more? Do what he has for you, whether that be something that you're afraid of failing and something that seems far too greater for you. Simply walk in faith without knowing the steps. And if it's something that you don't even think is worth your time, walk in faith. Let God continue to build those steps. Be where God has you, and God will meet you. And God will continue to help you walk forward in those things. And you will see the fruit in his life, and you will be able to bring out fruit in other people's lives. The next thing is to simply be focused. It is concentrating on Jesus and his will to the fullest. It is keeping him the main thing, because God should be the main thing. There shouldn't be anything else you're putting above God in your life. There shouldn't be anything else you're doing and spending more time than what God has for you necessarily in your life. So it really is just simply keeping the main thing the main thing. And choosing whether or not you're going to keep your focus on yourself and your own actions and your own desires, or keeping your focus on God, who is the not only the all-powerful creator of the universe, the someone that is well beyond our comprehension, someone who knows all and sees all and is outside of time. Not only is he all those things, he also sent his own son to die for you and to pay for your own punishment, which you deserved. And not only after that, but he imparted you his own power, his own spirit, to work these things in you, to be able to build up others, to be able to work in his power for his own glory, the glory of the creator of the universe. He's given you all these things. So who are you going to choose to follow? Yourself, who accomplishes what, a 9-to-5, maybe barely, who accomplishes what video games you want to play, who accomplishes whatever books you want to read? Whose desires are you going to put first in your life? You're not saying it's wrong to like have these other things you want to do. Like rest isn't necessarily a thing if you want to be effective. But at the end of the day, what is the main thing in your life? Is your main thing the rest? Or is your main thing the one who gives you rest, the one who gives you purpose, and the one who gives you life? Oh, wait, I like that verse. I'm going to go back to it. And then the verse that sticks out to me that I thought of was one that's been speaking to me recently, which is in Matthew 14. Which is the account of, specifically the account of Jesus walking on water and calling Peter to walk on water. And starting at verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked out on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, He was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forward his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Obviously, this passage works in a lot of other things we talked about, but simply, he let his focus get off Christ. He let his focus get on the situation surrounding him, on whatever circumstances may be happening at that moment. When all he had to do was simply follow what God said and come. He knew that Jesus was going to allow him to get there, and he even had that faith at the start, but he lost focus and fell. And if that happens, just get back up. Get back up and keep moving. Get back up and get your focus right. Allow God to pick up where he left off. The only way that you're going to be able to see and allow God to work in you is if you let your heart be in the right place. You can have all this information. You can have far more information than this. If you don't let your heart change, let your heart receive this, let your heart be changed by this, and actually seek and desire after the things God has for you, you will not move forward. You will stay where you're at, and you don't have to. I stayed where I was at for quite some time because I was not willing to move forward. It's only when you actually give your life over to him fully, allow him to do the work, allow him to take care of the results, that you will see this work happen. And quite honestly, if you got anything out of tonight's message, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. When I said that I talked to Chick and he told me to teach on this, that was 2 days ago. That was 2 days ago I found out that I was teaching from this book. This book, which I had read at a very fast pace once without taking any notes. So, on top of that, I do not like public speaking and have never done this before to this extent. And I got 4 hours of sleep because I was up figuring this out. So, with all of that in mind, this shouldn't reasonably work. I shouldn't reasonably be able to be up here and say anything that brings any meaning into anybody's life. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he wants to do, and that's what he wants to do in you and through you. And he wants to empower you to work in others and to simply edify and build up and encourage. That is the purpose of these gifts. That is what he wants to accomplish through your life if you let him, if you hand it over to him. Quite simply, like, one thing that I really want to see is for the young men to really step up and take a hold of this. Because if more young men do this and actually give themselves over to what God has for them, that means more young men that will be teaching and less times I'll have to teach. So please, step up and do this. Let God work in you. And the very final thing for letting the Holy Spirit, for discovering your gifts of the Spirit and for really building your gifts of the Holy Spirit is to be filled. It is to allow your heart to just let the Holy Spirit's presence to dwell there. Let the Holy Spirit to operate from there. To let the Holy Spirit empower you, to let the Holy Spirit give you strength, and to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if you have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit yet, or simply need a refilling during Afterglow, just come up prepared for that. Come up and receive the simple gift that God has for you. Receive the work that he wants to do in you. Be filled and operate from that fullness. So with that, Lord, I just give this night to you, Lord. Thank you, God, for, Lord, the work you've done in my life. Lord, the work you want to do in everyone else's life, and just the gifts that you want to give us and the gifts that you want to use in us. Thank you, Lord, for just everything that you are and everything that you've given and everything that you've imparted to us to use for you. Lord, please just continue to keep Chick safe while he's on his way to Africa and in Africa, and just allow him to also just use those gifts that you have given him to just encourage and speak into the lives of others there too. Lord, that when he comes back, we will be even more filled with your Spirit, even more operating in the gifts that you have for us, and even further than when he left us. Lord, that you will just do that work in us, and that we will simply step aside and let it happen, that we will die to self and let you raise us up again in your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.